tonight.
Alright!
We're gonna have a TV party, alright!
All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Wild Card Wednesday. Get your request in now. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to talk about the best TV shows that were never nominated for Emmys. Today in history, Disneyland opened. And so we're going to talk about that and some of the best amusement park rides of all time. And we got that corporate logo, the most famous corporate logo topic that we're going to get into as well. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Stay connected on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Our good friend Dan Feinberg joins us biweekly to talk TV. We always have a lot of fun. He's the TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him at Twitter and Facebook at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. But he's making a special appearance with us this morning. We thank him for doing this because yesterday morning, the Emmy nominations were announced. And so we want to get his impression on that and talk about all the nominees and, maybe predict some things and talk about the snubs and all of that stuff. And let's welcome Dan back to the show. Dan, welcome back.
Thank you much, Nick.
How are you?
Oh, it's a busy day, and all sorts of TV to talk about, and you know how there's that image that everyone has of people on, say, January 1st on the morning where they're surrounded by confetti with the noisemakers kind of drooping and, right. You know, the old glasses on their eyes. That's what I'm feeling like right now, so it's a good
all
time.
Right. Okay, cool. I did want to mention really quickly, you're not watching Big Brother, right? Have you stopped?
I quit this week. I watched 10 minutes of Sunday night's episode, and I said, there is no way that I'm going to stick with this.
I'm going to stick with it. I'll keep you updated. But they are, without question, Dan, the stupidest house guests that have ever been on Big Brother. There's just no question that they are the stupidest that I've ever seen on that show. So...
And yet you're gonna stick with it,
yeah.
And you're missing out on the sarcastic pleasures of Love Island, which, let me tell you, not a good show, but still better than Big Brother this summer, at least.
All right,
that's all I'm gonna say about
it. Okay, all right. Well, look, let's get to the Emmy nominations before we get to the specific categories. Did it go the way you thought it was gonna go?
I think this is another one of those years, a little bit like last year, where if you kind of train my brain onto the things that I feel positive about, I can really find a lot of things to be happy about these nominations. On the other hand, if you allow my brain to wander over in the direction of several shows that got snubbed entirely or actors who keep getting neglected year in and year out, then I can get grouchy. So,
yeah.
So I'm going to say that right now, if you ask me, I'm feeling pretty positive. And after we talk for 20 or 30 minutes about these nominations, I'm sure I'll be angry. So
right.
Bring it on.
All right. Well, let's go. Let's do it. Outstanding comedy series, Barry, Fleabag, The Good Place, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Russian Doll. By the way, it's spelled, I just want to make sure that the listeners know this, and we got our boss's permission. It's spelled S-C-H-I-T-T-S, Schitt's Creek, and Veep, Outstanding comedy series. Some good stuff in here.
There really is. I made sure that I asked permission to say Schitt's Creek before I came on and started, you know, destroying somebody's FCC whatever.
Yeah.
And that was probably, I would say, the biggest surprise of any of the shows that were nominated in this category. Because, I mean, we're talking a little show on pop. We have discussed pop as recently as last week with Florida Girls, where we've commented that it's a network that we only know about because of Big Brother After Dark.
Right.
But it is also the network that Schitt's Creek is on. But the funny thing about that is, I would guess, I don't want to give percentages, but I'm going to say a very large percentage of viewers, myself included, only know that the show exists because it's on Netflix after it's
right.
run on pop.
Right.
And so that's where I caught up with it. That's where my parents are catching up with it now. It's where people probably think the show comes from. But no, it's a little Canadian show that airs on pop that went from being on nobody's awards radar to suddenly an outstanding comedy series nomination. So that's amusing, I would say. I'm very happy for Fleabag. And, that's one of those shows where if it had gotten a couple token nominations here or there, if it had been nominated for lead actress for Phoebe Waller-Bridge, if it had been nominated really just for script, I would have gone, okay, they noticed it, good. It got 11 nominations, which it deserved all of them. It probably could have deserved a couple more, and I'm just so happy with that nomination there that I can almost ignore various other things with no nominations, like, for example, a couple little shows that we talk about, here and there, shows like Better Things and Baskets, which we will discuss as we go along. But, yeah, those are two big shows that could have made it into this field that didn't.
Yeah, I got to say that I was really surprised and angered that Better Things got shut out, and that Pamela Adlon didn't get the recognition that she deserves. It really made me angry. So
it was definitely one of my frustrations of the morning, and I don't understand how she was nominated for acting for the first two seasons, including last season, when there was already the Louis C.K. shaped cloud over the show. Well, yeah. This season, the show got entirely out from under that cloud. He had nothing to do with the season at all in any visible way. She wrote or co-wrote every episode, directed every episode, starred in every episode, remains absolutely top tier in each one of those categories, and so that means she was effectively quadruply snubbed because, writing, directing, acting, and producing, and that's really a shame because it is one of the very best shows on TV. On the other hand, if you're going to be in a category, if you're going to be sort of in a category of shows with zero nominees, Baskets would be a fine category to be in. Yep. Rami, Hulu show, which I speak about with love constantly, also zero nominations total. So there are definitely misses. Yeah. On the other hand, if you told me to look at this category, I would tell you that's a pretty good assortment of pretty good comedy.
Yeah, oh, I agree. I totally agree. And I think, but by the way, speaking of Baskets, last week's episode was absolutely the funniest episode of the season so far. Like, unbelievably, like, jaw-droppingly funny. Every single time he threw his daughter's phone or shot the phone or did whatever he did to the phone, I was on the floor laughing. I thought, and it was Zach Galifianakis got to really just have a lot of fun on last week's episode.
It's sad, though, that the show has gone from kind of off the radar, but Louis Anderson won, to Louis Anderson and Zach Galifianakis being nominated, to suddenly totally invisible. Yeah. And this was a not a very good year for FX, which certainly FX had a good year if you measure a year in terms of how much we talk about them our biweekly visit.
Right.
But yeah, no, zero nominations for Baskets, zero nominations for Better Things, and yet another year with zero nominations for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Those are some really good, really acclaimed comedies to be consistently getting shut out. Not a great day for them.
Yeah. What do you think is going to win? You got any an early guess here?
It's really, my instinct still continues to be with Veep, but on the other hand, only 9 nominations, only quote-unquote, but just, comparatively speaking, in the HBO last season sweepstakes, and we'll talk about this extensively as we go along, Game of Thrones with 32 nominations, that's basically maximizing full potential. 9 for Veep is not really maximizing, so that kind of makes it wide open, and once things are wide open, there are interesting possibilities there. Barry had 17 nominations. That's a lot of nominations
that's
for Barry.
It's a lot. Did he get nominated for director for the Lily episode?
He did indeed.
Yes.
He was the only one this year who got the triple crown that last year he got, but also Donald Glover got. Now, Natasha Lyonne was nominated for writing and acting, but she didn't get her directing nomination. So yes, the person who's nominated for all three of those is once again Bill Hader. And I assume that he's going to win a couple. The thing that made me very happy is that this show was not nominated last year for stunt work in a comedy. This year it was. I have to believe that has something to do with the Ronnie Lilly episode.
It has everything to do with that little girl.
Sadly, there was no category in which Little Ninja Girl could be nominated. So,
that's great. Okay, well, here's a quick question before we got a break, and then we'll come back and go through more of the categories. We mentioned that record-breaking 32 nominations for Game of Thrones. Did it get nominated for cinematography?
I'm pretty sure it did. I think so. Basically, I looked at cinematography and I got as far as to make sure that Ozark was not nominated. That was as far as I went. Game of Thrones was nominated for everything. They left nothing on the table with that show.
I just think it's hilarious that it got nominated for cinematography and everybody was bitching about the lighting.
I'm looking at it here, and yes, it did indeed get nominated for cinematography.
Okay.
Though not for the episode with the nighttime battle.
All right. Dan, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right, Dan Feinberg is with us. Special visit to talk about the Emmy nominations, which came out yesterday morning. And we're going to go through the categories and talk about the snubs and the predictions and all that fun stuff for the award season here for TV. All right, we'll take a quick break here on 720 WGN. My first concert, Black Oak, Arkansas. By the way, the scene in Dazed and Confused where that song is played is when they're chasing the kids and they're going to paddle them. I just want to let everybody know that whenever you hear a song from the soundtrack of Dazed and Confused, I can tell you exactly what scene it's played during. So it's one of my skills. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Wildcard Wednesday, get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Dan Feinberg joins a special visit with Dan. Always fun to talk to him. Emmy nominations were announced yesterday morning, and we're getting his thoughts on all the categories and all of that good stuff. Let's welcome Dan back. Dan, welcome back.
Thank you, Nick.
All right. Outstanding drama series. Better Call Saul, Bodyguard, Game of Thrones, Killing Eve, Ozark, Pose, Succession, and This Is Us. Where do you stand on here on this one?
It's an interesting list because, as I've said over and over again, the drama categories are a mess this year, and that's how you end up with as many nominations as Ozark got, and it's how you end up with the slightly oddball nomination for Bodyguard, but not for Richard Madden at Star, who was, I would say, probably more acclaimed than the show around him. So you get little strange things like that, but on the other hand, you get an expanded nomination profile for Killing Eve, mm-hmm. which I'm pleased with. I didn't necessarily love the second season as much as the first, but I'm still happy to see more recognition for it. You get a fair amount of recognition for Pose, but probably not anywhere near as much as it could have been. You get Succession, which to me, again, really should have been in the comedy category. If they found a place for it, whatever, anything that will get people to watch it more. Better Call Saul, which remains my favorite or second favorite show in this category, but really 32 freaking nominations for Game of Thrones, and I can't even begin to imagine it losing. Yeah. And so, you know, just an utter juggernaut to an unprecedented degree, and I guess we all knew that was coming, so no surprise there.
All right, outstanding lead actor in a drama series, Jason Bateman in Ozark, Sterling K. Brown in This Is Us, Kit Harington in Game of Thrones, Bob Odenkirk for Better Call Saul, Billy Porter for Pose, and Milo Ventimiglia for This Is Us.
Yes, Milo Ventimiglia. Lots of nominations for This Is Us. It kind of perked up a little bit this year, and in some strange categories as well. Tons of acting nominations for This Is Us. So don't you go telling Emmy voters that This Is Us has lost its heat. Apparently not. Again, just strange category because of the nature of the year. And so Kit Harington, to me, none of the actors from Game of Thrones should have, for this season, been in lead acting categories. It is so comical to me to compare what Kit Harington did in his, like, basically 15 minutes of actual acting for the entire season compared to what Bob Odenkirk does on a weekly basis on Better Call Saul. That to me is ridiculous, and yet we're supposed to believe that it's a reasonable thing that Kit Harington is in that category. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Billy Porter's wonderful. Bob Odenkirk's wonderful. Sterling K. Brown is always very good, though the show made a real mess of his character this season, and I'm not really sure what to be done with that. This is one where I don't have an instant answer for who is going to win. It could end up being Jason Bateman, who won the SAG Award, and I think that's just embarrassing. I mean, yeah. it's a one-note monotonous performance, and it makes me laugh, but okay. So it goes.
All right. Outstanding lead actress in a drama series, Emilia Clarke for Game of Thrones, Jodie Comer for nice to see that both of them got nominated for Killing Eve. That's a nice thing right there.
It is. Yeah. Very nice.
Viola Davis for Get Away with Murder. Laura Linney for Ozark. Mandy Moore for This Is Us. Robin Wright for House of Cards. Is that just perfunctory? I mean, do they just, we got to give it to her? Got to give her a nomination?
I think that, well, the peculiar part is that she hadn't been nominated for a couple of years. And so they kind of put her back in, which is kind of savvy of the voters. It really is reflective of the fact that the last season turned the show over to Robin Wright's character, and she was very, very good. I you know, would she have made my list? Almost certainly not. But this is an odd field. It doesn't necessarily line up in any way with my perception of the best acting on TV, and there's so much of it by lead actresses and dramas, and so here this is. Viola Davis was a surprise to a lot of people, even though you should never be surprised when Viola Davis is nominated for
anything.
Acting awards.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, Laura Linney, I never really complain about her performance in Ozark, much as I complain about everything else. I would love to see Jodie Comer win. I think that she just deserves a little bit more profile, which should take nothing away from how good Sandra Oh is on that show. Just for me, the second season was much more about Jodie Comer's character.
Yeah. Okay. Outstanding lead actor in a limited series or a movie. Mahershala Ali for True Detective. Best thing about that season was him.
Oh, by so much.
Benicio del Toro, Escape at Dannemora. Hugh Grant, Very English Scandal. Jared Harris for Chernobyl. Gerald Jerome for When They See Us. Sam Rockwell for Fosse Verdon.
Yeah, the comparison between the movie miniseries acting fields and the drama series acting fields are comical. Like, this is a powerhouse field.
Yeah.
There would be no wrong choice among these people, and there are 15 people who didn't get nominated who could have been, who are as good. There's just so much more good dramatic work being done in this space. I'm very happy to see Gerald Jerome nominated. I thought he was great in When They See Us. I think Hugh Grant is wonderful in A Very English Scandal. We've talked extensively about Sam Rockwell. Good on him. Benicio del Toro does his weird Benicio del Toro thing in Escape at Dannemora.
Right,
and works.
Right.
And Mahershala Ali was great. And I think the only reason why I wouldn't think that Mahershala Ali was going to win is that apparently just there wasn't that much affection for True Detective. And I understand why that was, because it was a mixed bag other than him. But if the show had gotten 10 or 11 nominations, I'd go, okay, he's a sure thing. But it didn't. So we'll see.
Okay. That's an interesting category. It really is. And you're right about the difference in quality right there. And again, look at this. The outstanding lead actress in limited series or a movie, Amy Adams. This is an unbelievable category right here. Amy Adams and Sharp Objects, Patricia Arquette and Escape at Dan. We were talking about this, Dan. You predicted this. We talked about how crazy this category was going to be. And Escape from Dannemora, Joey King for The Act, Michelle Williams for Fosse Verdon. How do you pronounce her name?
Which one are we talking about?
Anjanou Ellis.
Yes, Anjanou Ellis.
Anjanou Ellis for When They See Us and Niecy Nash for When They See Us.
Yep, those are some very good people. Those are some very good people, and that's even with, to my mind, both Anjanou Ellis and Niecy Nash are supporting actresses in When They See Us.
Yeah.
To me, there was no question that their roles are not lead roles. On the other hand, they got two additional nominations for actresses and supporting roles in When They See Us. So basically, by splitting them up, they were able to balance things out. It also meant that Florence Pugh didn't get nominated for Little Drummer Girl, which to me is a large disappointment. She carries an entire 6-hour miniseries on her back, and she's wonderful. And to me, she belonged here.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we talked about this. There's been the progression from last summer when Amy Adams was a lock to win for Sharp Objects, and then Patricia Arquette was a lock to win for Escape at Dannemora, and she won the Golden Globe and the SAG Award. It was like, okay, she's going to win it going away. And then Michelle Williams came in, and suddenly it's like, oh, well, there's that. And the sad thing is that Joey King in The Act is doing something remarkable, yeah. And in a different, lighter year, she would be expected to win. It would be a star-making performance for her. Instead, she's going to get creamed by one of these three Oscar winners / nominees. So, yeah. Good category.
Okay. Let's see. This is a good one. I got it. I would probably have to. I mean, it's very, very tough. But I would. I mean, I thought Michelle Williams was unbelievable in Fosse Verdon. I really did.
I don't think there's a wrong vote between Arquette, Williams, Adams, and Joey King. There's nothing there. You cannot do anything wrong with those folks.
Yeah. All right. Outstanding lead actor in a comedy series: Anthony Anderson for Blackish, Don Cheadle for Black Monday, Ted Danson for The Good Place, Michael Douglas for The Kominsky Method, Bill Hader for Barry, and Eugene Levy for Schitt, Schitt's Creek.
I was going to say, if I got permission to say it, you have permission also.
I still want to preface it when I say it for people who might not have heard the last segment. And so I just want to preface that. But we got permission to say it.
If you want to be delicate, you know, that's fine. You've got listeners with delicate ears, I'm sure. But, you know, it's...
yeah.
It's kind of the starting point for the humor on the entire series.
Oh, absolutely. So. Yeah, yeah. This is a strong category too.
It's a decent category. It's I'm not sure that this was necessarily Anthony Anderson's best year on Blackish, but I still think it's a very, very solid show. I thought that Black Monday was frankly a total mess of a series, but Don Cheadle is always good in everything. Can never say bad things about Ted Danson. Eugene Levy in Schitt's Creek is very, very, very good. Michael Douglas won the Golden Globe, and he's Michael Douglas,
right.
And then you got Bill Hader. To me, Bill Hader probably should win again, and I don't think, you know, I don't think to me it should be close, but those are some pretty powerful names underneath them, and so we'll see. But to me, Bill Hader really stepped up every aspect of his performance.
Oh, I totally agree, and I think Hader's going to win it that night. Okay, hang on, Dan, okay?
Sure.
All right, Dan Feinberg is with us from the Hollywood Reporter, TV critic. He joins us biweekly, but he's making a special appearance this morning because of the Emmy nominations were announced yesterday. You can follow him on Twitter and Facebook at The Fine Print, FIEN. More Emmy talk right after this. Welcome back, everybody. This is Play When the Party at the Moon Tower Ends and the Keg is Dry. I just wanted to let everybody know, in case you were wondering when that play is in Dazed and Confused. Just letting you know. Are you testing me this morning, Tom? Is that what you're doing? All right, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here on Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man! 312-981-7200. For your wildcard requests, and we're going to talk about great shows that were never nominated for Emmys, and it's the anniversary of Disneyland opening, so we're going to talk about amusement park and amusement park rides and lots of other really fun stuff. But right now, we're talking with Dan Feinberg, TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter, and you can follow him on Twitter and Facebook at The Fine Print, FIEN, and we're talking Emmy nominations. Dan, welcome back.
Thank you much.
All right. Let's see, where were we? Oh, outstanding lead actress in a comedy series. I was really happy to see this. Christina Applegate, Dead to Me, because I just love her. Rachel Brosnahan for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Julia Louis-Dreyfus for Veep, Natasha Lyonne for Russian Doll. This is another one I was really happy about. Phoebe Waller-Bridge for Fleabag and Catherine O'Hara for Schitt's Creek. Another really strong a really strong group of performances, like really strong, but it's got to be Julia Louis-Dreyfus, right? It's got to be.
Again, if you'd asked me 3 months ago, I would have said without any question. And it's still my instinct that probably yes, because why would anyone vote against Julie Louis-Dreyfus for this last time between it's the last season of Veep and she beat cancer for your entertainment.
And how is that not going to be like the emotional moment of the broadcast? You know what I mean? I mean, it'll be the high point, the emotional high point of the broadcast.
You would think so. So, okay, so you've got that. But then you have Rachel Brosnahan, who won last year and remains really very good and marvelous Mrs. Maisel, whatever problems I have with the show. You know, Christina Applegate also has beaten cancer, for heaven's sake.
Yes, that's right.
And she's amazing in Dead to Me. The question of whether she's even the best of the two actresses in Dead to Me is something else, but that's something else. You've got Natasha Lyonne, who's really just a great story. It's you know, she's overcome so many things, and here she is as the star co-creator of this wildly acclaimed show. It's easily the best performance she's ever given. And she's just wonderful. So you've got that. Catherine O'Hara is just, you know, she's a freaking legend, and that's what she is. And Phoebe Waller-Bridge is remarkable in every single thing that she does in Fleabag, whether it's writing, producing, carrying the whole darn show. She has it on her back, and so this is, and again, compared to the actor in a comedy series category, this is twice as good or three times as good. Again, there is no wrong vote in this category because you're never going to go wrong voting for Julie Louis-Dreyfus. But remarkably, I don't know that if I had a vote, it would go to her. So, just a great category. And again,
truly an amazing category. Like every performance is great.
And with Linda Cardellini left out, with Pamela Adlon left out, there are some performances that are every bit as good that didn't make the cut. The two stars of Hulu's Pen 15 could have made the category here.
Mm-hmm.
There are options.
Yeah.
And this is a good group from within the options.
Okay. Outstanding limited series. Chernobyl, Escape at Dannemora, Fosse Verdon, Sharp Objects, When They See Us. Another pretty unbelievable category right here. This is a tough one, right?
It goes to show where the year is and where the best stuff of the year happened to be. And so it's another one where there have been these swings of momentum, and I think definitely Fosse Verdon probably had momentum at some point, but I think there's a combination of kind of recency bias, but also a kind of broader importance that both Chernobyl and When They See Us have that I don't know that Fosse Verdon and Escape at Dannemora have. So I'll be interested to see. I think that Chernobyl was wonderful. I think that When They See Us is wonderful. It's another great category, and it just shows where the best work on TV, or where a lot of the best work on TV is these days.
You know, I mean, I think the timing of the airing of Chernobyl helped it to get the kind of nominations it got. You know, because it's the buzzword right now. I mean, you know, and it has been for a few weeks.
And when you consider how positive the reviews were and how excited people were for Sharp Objects when it premiered, for it to be such a total afterthought in this category, I think probably When They See Us has the advantage. I think if you just look at how much support there was and how many nominations there were for that miniseries, it probably has the advantage. But Chernobyl kind of came out of nowhere, and I think that's a fun feeling to have. I'm discovering something, even if it's, you know, a big HBO miniseries. It's not like it was under the radar, but still, it was a little bit less hyped than some of these, and people just got to go, oh my god, are you watching Chernobyl? You won't be able to sleep, or don't eat while watching Chernobyl. And that's really good for word of mouth.
What's the deal with Big Little Lies? It didn't premiere in time to be considered this year.
Yes, Big Little Lies did not premiere in time for consideration this year. Stranger Things did not premiere in time for consideration this year. This season of Handmaid's Tale didn't premiere in time for consideration. But if you'll look at the nominations, you'll notice that there were 11 nominations for Handmaid's Tale, which is a little bit confusing. It's part of one of the wrinkles of Emmy voting is that because there were three episodes of Handmaid's Tale that aired outside of the nomination window last year, the series is not was not eligible. None of the regular actors were eligible, but individual episodes were eligible for writing, directing, cinematography, technical things, and all guest actors were eligible. So it's a little wrinkle of Emmy amusement that
that's just
the nominations. Yeah. Oh, it is perplexing if you don't know to look for it, because everyone's like, okay, well, Handmaid's Tale got out of the way of Game of Thrones this year, so clearly it's not going to be nominated. It was nominated for 11 Emmys.
That's crazy. That's so weird.
Just how it goes.
Yeah. All right. Outstanding reality competition, The Amazing Race, nailed it. American Ninja Warrior, RuPaul's Drag Race, Top Chef, and The Voice. Didn't RuPaul's Drag Race win last year?
It did, and yeah. People had felt like it was not just overdue, like it was wildly overdue last year.
Yeah.
So it did win, and that was a reassuring thing for some people who were terrified. The idea that Emmy voters are so utterly complacent that, like, I don't even think Emmy voters knew that there was a new season of The Amazing Race this past year. They just checked a box. It's embarrassing, but it's the thing they do. It was a really good Top Chef season this past year, so that's what I'm rooting for.
Me
but
too.
I don't watch most of the other things.
Yeah. Okay. And an outstanding variety talk series, The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. Oh my God. The Late Late Show with James Corden. And The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. As far as I can see, there's only one that doesn't belong on this list.
It's funny because by a certain standard, of course, you're absolutely correct that you've got the five shows that are taking things on topically and that are of the moment and that are very current, and then you have the other one where he rides in cars with people and they sing. And look, I am with you for the most part. I do not need the thing that Corden does, but I understand that there are people who do need that thing, and that if people are going to have that escape, better that than Fallon.
All right. Well, it's. I mean, again, it's probably going to go to John Oliver. Isn't that the deal now? It goes every year to John Oliver, just like it used to go to The Daily Show, and then it went to the Colbert Report. So,
well, I think that's what it is until exactly the moment at which someone steps in and says, okay, I'm the new high priest of social commentary. I just don't know if there's an answer to who it is, because the person who it might have been, honestly, is Seth Meyers, and he wasn't nominated. So probably it's John Oliver.
Yeah. But which is fine, because the show is amazing. So
for sure. I would still vote for it happily.
All right. Outstanding supporting actor in a comedy series. Look at this. NoHo Hank got a nomination.
Indeed.
Anthony Carrigan in Barry. I'm so happy about that. Alan Arkin, The Kominsky Method. Stephen Root in Barry. Tony Hale in Veep. Tony Shalhoub in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Henry Winkler in Barry. It's nice to see Stephen Root and Anthony Carrigan in there, man. I just it's great.
For sure. And this was Stephen Root's first Emmy nomination, his first major award nomination of any type.
Is that right?
It is.
Jeez.
So, yay, you know, who's going to say anything bad about that? And then, so you've got Stephen Root and Anthony Carrigan against basically a field of titans.
Yes.
Because Henry Winkler, Alan Arkin, Tony Shalhoub, and even Tony Hale at this point is a titan of a different sort. But it's a good category. In fact, it's a very good category, but I still... all I could do was look and think of the people who didn't get nominated. And so, you know, just the easiest example to me is the idea that Tim Simons never got an Emmy nomination for Veep in its run. That's tragic to me. Not like, you know, tragic in a, there are horrible things going on in the world that are genuinely tragic, but in a, boy, Tim Simons's performance as Jonah Ryan on Veep was an all-time performance. And never to be nominated it's like Nick Offerman never getting nominated for Parks and Rec. You just go, how did that happen? Why did that happen?
Now, hold on, Dan. Hold on one second. I want you to complete the thoughts, but we got to take a break, okay?
Sure.
All right. Dan Feinberg is with us. When we come back, we'll finish talking about outstanding supporting actor in a comedy series and continue talking about the Emmys here on 720 WGN. We'll be right back. This is during the third scene in the Emporium where they're shooting pool. Ben Affleck is running the table. So that's what that is. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we're back. It's Wildcard Wednesday, 312-981-7200 for your request. We'll get to that a little bit later. Dan Feinberg is making a special appearance with us. Hollywood reporter. Follow him on Twitter and Facebook at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. Joins us every couple of weeks, but we're talking Emmys. Dan, welcome back.
Thank you much.
Okay. Now, you were talking about some of the missing nominees in the Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series category.
Well, I was mostly thinking of how many Veep actors could have been nominated who, just for whatever reason, the momentum apparently wasn't there. And so that's Tim Simons. I think that Kevin Dunn is another actor who certainly could have been nominated who wasn't. You could have just as easily filled this category with three people from Veep and three people from Barry and called it a day. So it's a very good category, and I'm not going to quibble with any of those people. I just would have loved for there to be two more nominations or three more or 10. You know, you could have gone deep in this category, and six feels like it's only scratching the surface.
Yeah. Okay, outstanding supporting actor in a drama series. Jonathan Banks, Better Call Saul. Giancarlo Esposito for Better Call Saul. Alfie Allen for Game of Thrones. Nikolai Coster-Waldau for Game of Thrones. Peter Dinklage for Game of Thrones. Michael Kelly for House of Cards. And Chris Sullivan for This Is Us.
Yeah. Toby on This Is Us has been my nemesis for 3 years now, one of my least favorite characters on all of television. I do not carry that over to Chris Sullivan, and yet still perplexes me to see him nominated there. Alfie Allen basically just, you know, he wasn't like he was bad this season. He was good this season, but I don't know that he needed a nomination. Yeah, there are definitely things that perplex me here, and that they couldn't make room for anybody from Succession in this category is my frustration.
Well, it's crazy. No, it's nuts that they passed up that cast. All right, outstanding supporting actress in a comedy series: Sarah Goldberg and Barry. That's nice.
It is.
Sean Clifford for Fleabag. Olivia Colman for Fleabag. Alex Borstein for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Betty Gilpin for Glow. Is that the only major nomination that Glow got?
I think it was the only major nomination, yes.
Come on, man. Maren Hinkle for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Kate McKinnon for Saturday Night Live, Anna Chlumsky for Veep.
Another very good category. Very happy to see Sean Clifford and Olivia Colman, who are both wonderful in Fleabag and totally worthy. Sarah Goldberg, like Bill Hader, really just went to a different gear this season. Yeah. I would have said in the first season that maybe not a weak link of the cast, but sort of a forgettable love interest kind of thing. And this season, she owned it. Alex Borstein is great. Betty Gilpin's great. It's a good category. Do I think that there are other things from the outside that could have made it into that category? Yes, but I like those people, and God, maybe Olivia Colman feels possible
and she's coming off of an Oscar win too. So
exactly,
yeah. Okay, we'll see about that one. Outstanding supporting actress in a drama series: Gwendolyn Christie for Game of Thrones, Julia Garner for Ozark, Lena Headey for Game of Thrones, Fiona Shaw for Fleabag, Sophie Turner for Game of Thrones, Macy Williams for Game of Thrones. So like everybody from Game of Thrones basically has been nominated.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, and it's ridiculous without necessarily there being a clear alternative. Like, for example, with the last category, I would just have removed Alfie Allen. Probably I could have gotten rid of Nikolai Coster-Waldau, honestly, also. But here, Maisie Williams was wonderful, and, you know, she could deserve to win, and I would have no problems with that. But Sophie Turner was great all season. Gwendolyn Christie, for about three quarters of the season was basically invisible, but in her key episode, she was wonderful. And while I don't think that for this year, Lena Headey deserved to be nominated, she's so good, I don't care, but I'm annoyed to the point of real frustration with the fact that Ray Sehorn can't get a nomination for Better Call Saul. At this point, it's almost become conspicuous in how frustrating it is, because they, as we saw in the last category, you had Giancarlo Esposito getting nominated. Jonathan Banks gets nominated every year. I don't think anyone even remembers what he's doing there anymore. You go to the guest actor fields, and Michael McKean, who deserved to win last year, but he's at least nominated this year, and that's something. But Ray Sehorn can't get a nomination, and she belongs there, and so that annoys me. On the other hand, Julia Garner is the only part of Ozark that I actually like.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy to see her nominated. I wish that she had been the show's only nomination, so I could have gone, yes, there, you can tell the thing that's good.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's good.
Right.
Instead, Emmy voters have questionable taste.
All right. Outstanding guest actor in a drama series. Ron Cephas Jones for This Is Us. Michael McKean for Better Call Saul. Glenn Turman for How to Get Away with Murder. Michael Angarano for This Is Us. Kumail Nanjiani for Twilight Zone. And Bradley Whitford for The Handmaid's Tale.
And once you know how he ended up there, I don't mind Bradley Whitford being there.
Yeah.
Because I was honestly perplexed last year when he didn't get nominated, and I had to have someone explain to me the whole hanging rule and whatever.
Yeah.
Good category, so many things that they left on the wayside. I would love to see Michael McKean win, but he really much more deserved to win in the supporting field last year.
Yeah.
But Glenn Turman is always wonderful. Ron Cephas Jones won either last year or the year before. Kumail, everyone loves him because he's wonderful and chummy and stuff. I don't really think his performance in that Twilight Zone episode was necessarily award-worthy, but
yeah,
whatever. People love him. That's fine.
Okay. Outstanding guest actor. Now, here's the nomination that just I can't even comprehend is in this category. Outstanding guest actor in a comedy series. Matt Damon for Saturday Night Live, and I'm convinced it's because of the Weezer sketch. It's because of the Weezer sketch. That's why. Luke Kirby for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Peter McNichol for Veep, John Mulaney for Saturday Night Live. Here's the one: Robert De Niro for Saturday Night Live, for coming out in Robert Mueller makeup and just kind of standing, and then Adam Sandler for Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, no, the De Niro nomination is embarrassing.
Yeah, it is completely.
It is so ridiculous because he was actively bad.
Yeah.
He was never, and unlike Alec Baldwin, who sort of has coasted for a couple of years and is Trump, but at one point you could go, okay, it was kind of fun what he was doing, and I see the point. Robert De Niro never cared at all.
No.
And you could tell it every second, and there are people who deserve that nomination, and Robert De Niro is just sitting there, and it's...
Yeah,
and on top
of that, nobody really knew what Robert Mueller sounded like until after the Mueller report came out. you barely even, because he wasn't doing an impression, because really nobody knew what kind of an impression you could do as Robert Mueller.
Sure, which is why he's not really trying anything at all.
Yeah, so exactly.
It's actually entirely perfect at that point that he's making no effort whatsoever into trying to be like a guy who no one could have identified anyway. So,
right.
Yeah, no, that one is awful. Otherwise, the Adam Sandler's episode of SNL was really good.
It was.
John Mulaney has become one of the show's best returning hosts. He's always good. The Matt Damon episode was top tier. Peter McNichol is always wonderful.
Always. He's one of my favorite actors ever. I love Peter McNichol. I just think he's great.
Rufus Sewell had a very funny, very drunken episode on Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I don't know necessarily I would have thought it was Emmy-worthy, but it is very broad and very drunk. And Luke Kirby is one of the better parts of the show, and one of the kind of genuine frustrations of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is that he is so likable as Lenny Bruce, and the show can't really do anything with him because you can't suddenly make Lenny Bruce into a happy romantic love interest for your main character 6 years before Lenny Bruce is going to die under tragic circumstances. So. Right. He kind of has trapped the show to some degree.
Yeah. All right. Real quick, Fiona Shaw, this is outstanding guest actress in a comedy series. Fiona Shaw for Fleabag, Kristen Scott Thomas for Fleabag, Anne Margaret for The Kominsky Method, Jane Lynch for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Sandra Oh for Saturday Night Live, Maya Rudolph for The Good Place, and Emma Thompson for Saturday Night Live. This is an interesting category, I think.
I think it's a category where they definitely had a lot of people who they could have dominated and didn't. Like they basically like look and they skim and they find the people who they want to nominate, and
yeah.
that's the kind of boring thing that they do. But you know, Sandra Oh was very good in her episode of SNL, and so I'm happy enough for that, as was Emma Thompson, I suppose. Maya Rudolph is always great. To me, Kristen Scott Thomas should
yeah.
win this. Her episode of Fleabag was wonderful.
Yeah, she's great. Okay, let's take a break here. Dan, hang on.
Sure.
All right, Dan Feinberg is here, and we're going through the Emmys right here on 720 WGN. We'll get back to it right after this. Oh, man, I'm having a hard time placing this one. I think it's at the Emporium, I think. Fox on the Run. Now I feel like I'm not the dazed and confused expert that I thought I was. So welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio on Wednesday. Wildcard Wednesday, get your requests in now, 312-981-7200. Dan Feinberg for The Hollywood Reporter is with us with an extra visit, talking about the Emmy nominations, which were announced yesterday morning. Dan, welcome back.
Thank you much.
All right, let's get back to it. Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Limited Series or a Movie. Ben Whishaw for A Very English Scandal. Asante Black for When They See Us. Paul Dano for Escape at Dannemora, Stellan Skarsgård for Chernobyl, John Leguizamo for When They See Us, and Michael Kenneth Williams, better known as Omar, for When They See Us. So what do you think?
So much support for When They See Us.
Yeah.
With, you know, who are you gonna take out there? No, I'm very happy for Ben Whishaw, who I thought was wonderful in Very English Scandal, and basically is a co-lead in the same way that Paul Dano is surely a co-lead in Escape at Dannemora.
Right.
A lot of these are very supporting roles, and at that point, there are a couple things I would have loved to have seen here. I definitely would have loved to have seen Norbert Leo Butz in this category as Patty Chayefsky from Fozzie Burton.
Yeah, absolutely.
That to me would have been, you know, should have been a no-brainer, and I don't really understand why he's not here. But on the other hand, you have When They See Us, and there was a lot of love for that, obviously. And so, you know, you have these actors who came in and didn't do a lot of work, but basically they made vivid characters out of these little on-the-page things. And so John Leguizamo was great. It's not a big part, but it does exactly what it's supposed to do. I would expect probably that the winner is going to be one of the When They See Us actors.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it probably should be Ben Whishaw, but I just think he's really very talented, and I thought A Very English Scandal was quite wonderful.
Okay. Outstanding guest actress in a drama series. Cherry Jones for The Handmaid's Tale, Jessica Lange for American Horror Story Apocalypse, Felicia Rashad for This Is Us, Laverne Cox for Orange is the New Black, Cecily Tyson for How to Get Away with Murder, and Carice Van Houten for Game of Thrones.
Well, she did have one episode that she was in, and they were able to find a couple places for a couple guest actresses from Game of Thrones for bonus nominees, so thank heavens. it's a pretty powerful category of people in this field. Once you have Jessica Lange and Cherry Jones and Cicely Tyson, I thought Felicia Rashad was wonderful in her one episode of This Is Us, and she's never won an Emmy before. I would love to see her win. To me, it's the right opportunity to recognize someone who is truly a legend and somehow never won an Emmy.
That's really surprising to me. Considering all the years that she was on the Cosby Show, that's really really surprising.
Indeed, and she's really wonderful in her one This Is Us episode. So,
outstanding supporting actress in a limited series or a movie: Patricia Arquette for The Act, Margaret Qualley for Fosse Verdon, Patricia Clarkson for Sharp Objects, Marcia Stephanie Blake for When They See Us, Vera Farmiga for When They See Us, and Emily Watson for Chernobyl. What do you think of this?
It's so funny because clearly there was a point in history in which Felicity Huffman absolutely would have had one of these nominations for When They See Us. And as it stands, she is now basically the only major member of the cast who wasn't nominated. And for very, very obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And so that's one of those things. To me, it's going to be a real frustration if somehow in this wonderful year of TV work, Patricia Arquette doesn't win for something.
Yeah.
And if truly Michelle Williams has usurped her in the lead category, I would love to see Patricia Arquette within this category.
I agree.
To me, she should have an Emmy.
I agree with you 100%. I totally agree. She was great in The Act. Just great. Outstanding variety or sketch series: At Home with Amy Sedaris, Documentary Now, Drunk History. Is this the first time Drunk History has been nominated?
I don't think so. I think it's a regular in this category.
Okay, because I think that show's hilarious. I Love You, America with Sarah Silverman, Saturday Night Live, and Who Is America?
Definitely some people are happy with having the Sacha Baron Cohen show there.
Yeah.
I am not particularly.
I'm not one of them either, so, yeah.
On the other hand, I think that Documentary Now is a wonderful, wonderful show, and it got a bunch of nominations for the co-op episode about sort of the takeoff on the company recording live studio audience soundtrack. And happy to see a bunch of nominations for Documentary Now, and that is such a niche-y little weird show, and I treasure Documentary Now, even if seven people watch weekly episodes.
Right. And then finally, we have the outstanding host for reality or competition program, Ellen DeGeneres, for Ellen's Game of Games, where basically Ellen DeGeneres is just, like, for an hour, she's a sadist. That show, I watched like a half an episode of one show, and as she's gleefully throwing people across the room, I had to turn it off. Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman for Making It, RuPaul for RuPaul's Drag Race, Marie Kondo for Tidying Up with Marie Kondo, and James Corden for The World's Best.
Yeah, that's a strange category. It's a strange category, but then you find out that this was Nick Offerman's first Emmy nomination,
yeah.
And you go, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would love to see Nick Offerman win an Emmy. That's what I would like,
yeah.
Because he probably should have had multiple for Ron Swanson, and so whatever it takes, I say. But man, the idea that James Corden would get a nomination for The World's Best just really gives you some indication
right.
that this is a category that maybe doesn't need to be given every year.
Yeah. My buddy Brian Tallarico he made his 10 biggest snubs. Let's see what you think of them. We already talked about Rhea Seehorn for Better Call Saul. He says that. He includes the entire cast of Deadwood, the movie.
Absolutely. Mostly it's reflective of the fact there isn't a separate category for actors in a movie versus actors in a movie/miniseries.
Right,
and
right.
So the miniseries fields were just so good that there was no room, but yes, the fact that you couldn't get Ian McShane a nomination is bad.
Yeah. He wanted to see Homecoming get some major nominations.
Hey, look, if you're Julia Roberts, you do not think that you are doing a TV show if you're not going to get a darn Emmy nomination for it.
Yeah.
And And she didn't. And honestly, I didn't love Homecoming as much as some people did, but I'm a little surprised that that she didn't get nominated and that Sam Esmail didn't get nominated for directing, rather.
Yeah. And then he also includes Rami as a show that should have been recognized a lot more.
For very sure.
And he also says, Brian also says, the entire cast of Succession, what the hell, you know, basically. he says, Richard Madden for Bodyguard.
He does carry the show. And so to me, if you have a show that is nominated for drama series and you have a lead actor who's basically in every single shot of the entire show and really holds the darn thing together, probably.
Yeah.
Deserve the nomination.
He also, his next entry is anyone not named Ted Danson from The Good Place.
Yeah, Darcy, I feel bad. You have Darcy Carton there announcing the nominations, and she had one of the year's very best showcase episodes.
Absolutely.
And if that's not enough to get her nominated, I don't know what is. But on the other hand, Maya Rudolph was nominated, so
she
it's
was.
Not just Ted Danson.
Right. Better Things. He was upset about that, not having a stronger show. He actually wanted to see Stephen Dorff get nominated for True Detective.
A lot of people did, and again, that's just a difficulty with there being so many contenders in that category. So yes, but I was slightly surprised. I felt there was definitely a moment when Stephen Dorff felt like he had momentum, and then apparently people forgot.
Yeah, and then he says everybody who was neglected in GLOW. So
there are a lot of those people. Sure, I'm not sure I feel. That was as criminal, just given the number of comedies that I felt deserved more recognition. I'm not sweating it on GLOW because I'm sweating it on Baskets, Better Things, Rami, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Gotcha. All right. Well, the 71st Annual Emmy Awards are going to be Sunday, September 22nd, 7 o'clock Central Time on Fox. And I think the red carpet coverage begins tomorrow on E! So we'll get that going.
Well, maybe not. I mean, they might want to try finding a host first.
Well, that's the other thing, is that there's no host.
Hey, we learned from the Oscars.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need it.
It's true. All right. Well, thanks for your thoughts on the Emmys. And I know you got a busy next couple of weeks coming up, right?
Indeed. The TCA press tour starts next Tuesday, so if we're sticking with our normal schedule, then next time we chat, I should be able to fill you in on the first couple days.
Great.
Of press tour.
Great. All right, Dan, thanks for taking this special time to talk to us, man. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Nick.
Okay, thank you, Dan. There you go. Dan Bye. Feinberg and his thoughts on the Emmys. Again, they'll be handed out September 22nd on Fox. And so there was Dan Feinberg from The Hollywood Reporter, and you can follow him on Twitter and Facebook at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about the best shows that never even were nominated for Emmys. Really great shows that shockingly weren't nominated for Emmys. That's all coming up right here on 720 WGN.